Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us here live worldwide on CUTV News Radio Live. Jim Masters here. A pleasure to have you with us today. It is 11 a.m. Eastern here at our broadcast center, Friday, September 27th, 2019. And it's so nice to have you with us. And thank you very much for joining us on CUTV News Radio Live. We're continuing our in-depth, thought-provoking, and insightful conversations with Dr. Susan Kevler Adler, and we're going to be doing a lot more with Dr. Adler as well. We are very excited that I'll be going to her wonderful facility for a fantastic interview coming up, television video interview in November, and then we'll be doing some more projects together with an exciting series that's coming up in the fall. Dr. Susan Kevler Adler, if you've been following along, is a noted and revered and respected clinical psychologist and psychoanalytic psychotherapist who has been practicing in Lower Manhattan in New York City for more than 40 years. Psychology and psychoanalysis as clinical practices really have a depth and range that are generally not known to the general public. So many people resort to medication when in-depth experiential work to understand oneself and to prevent the repetition of self-sabotaging behavior is available with trained clinicians in mental health. Though she's been in the field for many years, Dr. Kevler Adler is distinguished by her ability to innovate and experiment in a session with a client, as well as to listen very deeply to the many levels of communication. I encourage you to go back in the archives to hear the other shows that we have done together exclusively here on CUTV News Radio Live, so you can get a feel for the conversation and the amazing topics that we have covered. She feels, she says, that she's the instrument to tune into the unconscious thoughts and feelings of the patient, but she's also open to an improvisational state, which is very important. The psychoanalyst is the expert to help the patient sort through their confusion, to recognize what their mind is saying to them, and to recognize how repressing the unconscious parts of themselves might be actually contributing to their problems. She works with adults, but part of that work is to help the adult work with the child inside. This also relates to understanding and healing trauma, which we've talked about as well. She's incredible at what she does, and she's so approachable and affable, and one of her books entitled Morning Spirituality and Psychic Change, A New Object Relations View of Psychoanalysis, discusses how when people open up to grief, mourning, and loss, they open up to all kinds of new possibilities. She has written several books, and again, she's the author of 70 articles and 6 books. She's also the founder and executive director of the Object Relations Institute, which is a state-chartered educational institute that trains psychotherapists and psychoanalysts. She loves her work, and she's extraordinary at what she does, and we're so honored that she is with us here on CUTV News Radio Live for our exclusive series, and again, the continuation of more wonderful projects with our very special guest, Dr. Susan Kevler Adler. Today, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. We're going to continue the thread about regret and much, much more, envy and things of that nature, and some surprises along the way as well. Dr. Kevler Adler, thank you very much for joining us here live on CUTV News Radio. It is a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome back to the show.
Okay, thank you. It's so good to be here. Yes, it's a pleasure.
You are very welcome, and I know you are a bundle of enthusiasm. You have so much information to share with us, and we try to get to as much as we can in these 30-minute windows of opportunity that we have. The regret, that is a big, big, big one that you know a lot of us deal with. But for some people, it can be an overwhelming situation because there is sort of this fear of regret, and that can really keep us stuck and get in the way of progressing in our lives. Let's talk a little bit about and pick up with regret and what this fear of regret is really like.
Yes, well, you know, it's a colloquial thing to say, I have no regrets, as if that's a good thing, and the famous Pilaf song about having no regrets. But in actuality, psychologically, that is very much in contrast to what's healthy and what's progressive for psychological development and growth, and to overcome self-sabotaging patterns in one's life. To deny regrets, everybody has regrets. So if you say you have no regrets, usually it's denial. And it usually means that the regrets are there unconsciously and the person is avoiding becoming conscious of them. I have a book called Anatomy of Regret, and it's out there along with my other five books, and it's published by Routledge now. All my books, by the way, can be seen in the different outlets. They're sold by going to Google Susan Cavalier Adler, and descriptions of the books can be seen on my website. But I want to get more into how each person can benefit from actually consciously facing their regret as opposed to denying it. Because when people deny their regrets, they will repeat the same thing that made them regret. If they keep the regret unconscious, they will keep repeating the same thing that was a mistake for them rather than learn from the mistake and find out about the regret. But people who I've worked with who are incredibly articulate in expressing themselves in the cases that I wrote up in the Anatomy of Regret, you can see that when people face their regret about perhaps their aggression towards their ways of their hostility and contempt, they're hurting the ones they love or hurting relationships by distancing from people through uncontrolled hostility of any kind. This when that is faced as a regret, someone can change their behavior. They can learn from it. But when it isn't faced, the person will keep repeating the same thing, and it will be self-sabotaging to their relationships and therefore to themselves in their capacities to connect and relate and also within themselves. And we don't always understand, or a lot of people don't understand who don't think in terms of the unconscious like psychoanalysts do, that they, when they hurt relationships with others or hurt others, they're hurting themselves too. And in their internal world, they're doing damage to their sense of themselves and to having good internal relatedness with those in their internal world that will give them a healthy and developing sense of self. So when you hurt someone else, you're also hurting yourself. And those regrets can be really critical in some cases. I mean, there are small regrets and there are bigger regrets. But, you know, sometimes it can just totally transform somebody's life when they stop doing something major that's self-sabotaging in a big way in their life. And those stories in the Anatomy of Regret book really illustrate that. There was one woman in there who at one point, after going through years in her life of feeling so much hatred or detachment and contempt for her father, got in touch with, through opening up other losses and getting connected to a more loving part of her, she realized one day in a therapy session that she really had a deep, deep love for her father, went back to her childhood, and that he loved her in a way that nobody else did. And she had a great deal of difficulty with her mother. And she realized that inside of her, deep down, was this love between her and her father. And when she opened up this, it was through so much depth of feeling, and it was so poetic because of the realization coming through such deep feeling of grief, because her father had died by that point, and she felt the grief of not having been able to repair their relationship and realize that he had loved her and that she still had love for him before he died. But opening up to that pain and facing it allowed her to begin to love in a deeper way with her husband and children, and therefore, and also she was, in addition to the work she did, which was a more practical kind of profession, she also began to be a writer. And through facing this regret, she opened up her creative resources, because she faced this deep loss of her father and the love they had, and opened up the love for her father. When you open up love within the self, you also open up a channel, a real connection to your inner creative potential and resources. So she started to develop as a writer in a major way through realizing this primal regret, not only, you know, how it was getting played out with people in her current life, where she would push them away by being contemptuous in certain ways that went back to her and her father and her defense against, you know, her early love for her father and her fear of closeness. But that was being played out with people currently, but there was that primal regret with her father. And once she uncovered that, and it came out in such a poetic way, and the sense that she could transform and a change really happened was so vivid that I wrote about it and wrote about her exact words. Of course, I disguised who the person was, and she gave me written permission to write this up. But it was such a poetic experience for both of us, and such a transformative one for her, and such a meaningful one for me in terms of my practice. And when you get to a point where you really see change happening in somebody that makes a major difference in their life, and they actually become more of a whole different person in a way in having this deeper depth of connection to love and creativity within themselves.
Another area too is envy, and that can really, in many aspects of our lives, envy can really create almost this festering where if we are envious in a very deep-seated way, the actions we take, the movements we make, the thoughts that we have day to day are tied into this envious feeling and sensation and notion where we live our lives in envy without, which can, I would imagine, stop us from living our authentic self, living our own life. We're comparing ourselves to everybody else. We're envious of who the adulation they're getting, the awards they're getting, the love and affection they seem to get, the toys that they have. Let's talk about how envy also comes into the picture and can really be debilitating. And there's a difference I had heard between envy and jealousy, right?
Yes.
People sort of lump them together.
Exactly, yes. Often people use the word jealousy when they really mean envy. See, jealousy involves three people, and it involves being jealous that someone who you want to be with prefers another person. That's jealousy, and it can be very intense, but it's jealousy is all the more intense when there's early envy going on in the person's unconscious. And so the envy is earlier and more primal. It goes back to the dyad of mother and infant, mother and child, and gets played out in dyadic ways in relationships. It's not about three people, it's about two. And it's not about, and in jealousy also, it's somewhat modified by the fact that there's maybe love for one person when you're hating the other one that you are jealous of being preferred by the other person, or you fear they're being preferred. but there's love involved in wanting one of the people. So it's a little modified. Envy can just be like a pure kind of hatred and resentment that is towards somebody because you want what they have, and instead of a healthier situation where you admire what someone has and you can get inspired by it and you can move towards something in yourself that's like them so you can have something like they have. In envy, you feel like you could never have what the person has in any way, and you just hate them for having it because you see them as the have and you as the have-not. It's a very childlike way of thinking of, you know, all good or all bad or all win or all lose, like the other person has it all and you have nothing, so you're the loser, they're the winner. So in that way of thinking, where there are no shades of gray, it's all black and white, it's very feeling of rage and hatred that is so destructive to oneself can be very intense because you feel this hopelessness that you could ever have what the other person has, and you hate them for having it, and you can either consciously or unconsciously want that person to be hurt or want to hurt them or want them to be destroyed in some way. This can go back to very, very early unconscious things in one's childhood. And it's carried, for the most part, people are less conscious of envy than of jealousy. And it's more in the unconscious. And that's what makes it more dangerous, because it's not something a person can just understand and get past by seeing it and understanding it and trying to find other kinds of feeling states. But if it's all unconscious, then the person can't get past it. And envy also often sabotages success and often gets it because of the destructive acting out towards the other that seen as having the success they want, or because of projected envy, where they project one's own envy onto someone else and think they're envious, and then the person is intimidated because they're fearing the other person being envy and destructive and in a kind of destructive competition towards them or a destructive attack on them. So envy inhibits success, and it also, of course, is destructive to relationships when you really hate someone in that way without any modifying perspective on who they are and as a whole person and seeing more positive things with them. It can interfere with success and accomplishment. It can also interfere with creativity. For example, an artist who's unconsciously envious of someone else who's self-expressive or artistic can actually inhibit their own creative abilities because they're so caught up in wanting to be what the other is rather than finding themselves in their work, and also or wanting to destroy what the other has by criticizing it to death or whatever that they do either in their mind or outwardly, and then they undo their own openness to their own creative resources. So it's also a lack of faith in one's own abilities. But envy is very, very prevalent and very, very misunderstood or not recognized. And as I said, jealousy is not only much more consciously in people's awareness, but also the word jealousy is very often put in the place of what truly is envy, where it's a dyadic situation and the person just wants to destroy what the other person has or even destroy that other person because they feel they can never have what the other person has, and they think they can only have it if they destroy what the other has. And that can all go on in psychic fantasy unconsciously. And that's what psychoanalysts like myself and specialize in is helping people understand their unconscious fantasies, sometimes in dreams, sometimes in thoughts and feelings that come up in the sessions. But there are fantasy systems in people, and they're in what we call the internal world. As an object relations theorist and clinician, I particularly tune into the internal world of each person. And I do that through my abilities, both through tuning into their verbal expressions, but also nonverbally. I'm both a writer and a dancer, and I can use the nonverbal aspects of myself to tune into the internal world that's not being spoken by the person, but there in there, in the feeling in the room, or their nonverbal behavior. And the writer part of me tunes in more to the verbal part of them. But envy is something that also comes up with the therapist, and when it does, it can be very meaningful to help the person see how anxious they are about it, or how in denial they are about it, and how it's interfering with their allowing a supportive connection with the therapist and with other people in their lives, so that they can end up feeling so alone. So there are many, many ramifications of unconscious envy. And the more people learn about it, I hope some of you will read my book, Anatomy of Regret. I think you'll see very, very poignant stories. In that book, there are very poignant ones, like the one I mentioned about regrets for daddy. I have that section where she rediscovers the love that was there from her father that she had denied all her whole life. And there are many stories there that are very poetic in their expression, because it has such deep realization and insight involved, and communication with myself as their therapist and psychologist, psychoanalyst. So there's a lot to say about that topic, and any questions about it more, I'd be glad to go into it.
Are we living in a time where envy is celebrated, meaning we're living in a time where television shows, other movies, music, conversations that people have, where when they showcase it in an entertainment form, envy, for example, things like Real Housewives, where they're arguing and fighting, and people are seeing that. Children see it, adults see it. We almost absorb what we're seeing in terms of celebrating. Well, I'm going to go get that person because I want the same kind of car they have. Or I'm going to tear that person down, and I'm going to go on social media, Twitter, and I'm going to say all these things about that person because I want to tear them down, because I want to feel bigger and taller and better and more loved. Are we in a society, or at least a time period, where the negative is being celebrated versus the positive?
Well, that's a very good point. There is so much negative, of course, in our society, and in some ways more in the past few years. However, of course, envy is a part of the human condition, and it's been around since the human being evolved, so it's not just now. But it's interesting when you say, yeah, you could see it right there on television, and we have right out there with all the television channels and social media, so it may be highlighted in a different way than in the past. Envy also can be modified early on. We've born with a certain amount of aggression, but it doesn't have to become this real hostile or murderous kind of envy that one feels if one's given enough of a supportive, early, loving environment. But, in the case of the woman I mentioned, because there were so many problems with the mother, and the mother is scapegoating her and really abusing her with both emotional and sometimes physical attacks. The love with her father and the got buried, and the father also developed a condition where he was more detached. So she didn't have that loving resource. There was so much trauma. that had to be worked through in the therapy. And then she was able to really appreciate people and connect more intimately, as I said, with her husband and children than before. And the envy was of, I was talking about her in terms of regret, but there was the regret about hostility, and some of it did have to do with envy and a hostility which she, and a contempt that she showed sometimes that she began to see as a problem, and then she was able to become aware of it. So I don't know if it's, yeah, that's an interesting point, seeing it as celebrated to go after someone ruthlessly and get what you want. But, of course, that always has repercussions with the other person or persons either being retaliatory in their reactions to that, or the person who does this envious attack in such a vicious way can be, whether they celebrate it or not, they can become intimidated by their fears of retaliation from the other. Even if the other person isn't acting it out, they can fear retaliation. So in the end, they actually get inhibited, and or they have to keep bad mouthing the other person in a compulsive, ongoing way in order to try to, as you said, build the self up when they really feel very inadequate, to make themselves seem taller and bigger, as you said, and in whatever way they draw themselves for other people and for themselves in their mind. It can be obvious to others when there's an envious attack, even if not to the person doing it. And then there are people who are very vulnerable to being exploited by envious people because they don't want to believe that another person can be that mean to them. And they're afraid of unconscious envy in themselves, so they actually become victims to it in somebody else because they don't want to see how this is manifested in themselves or in other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about consciousness again and awareness of these parts of the self are so difficult to grasp consciously and that have such an instinctual base. In the first radio show we did, I talked about the intensity, that it's not just about repeating familiar patterns or getting habituated to certain ways of being, but that it's also about being addicted to the intensity that comes with this kind of primal envy or primal rage, primal anger, and that people do it again and again because they're also addicted to the intensity of this. It's kind of an adrenaline thing, really instinctual. So that makes it, you know, the kind of thing that psychoanalysis and psychoanalyst psychotherapy can be particularly helpful with.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Dr. Susan Kettler Adler. This is such a fascinating topic for me, and I'm sure it is for our audience listening around the world. I encourage folks to make contact with Dr. Susan Kettler Adler. You can go to the website to learn more. The website is fantastic because it has her biography, information about her private practice, events, groups, publications, Argentine Tango, which she's a big lover and participant in. Also, all of her fabulous books, too, some of which we've been highlighting in our exclusive CUTV News Radio Live series. There's contact information, links, pictures, videos as well. And, of course, I look forward to meeting in person Dr. Kettler Adler in November as we do a TV video interview together and chatting with her more, hopefully, here in our radio series, because this really is a fascinating topic. And much like what we're talking about now, the celebrating of envy, a lot of people, I think, absorb what they see. And if people think that it's a good thing to show rage with regards to envy and tear people down and everything, then people absorb that and they think that's the norm. And as it really shouldn't be. You know, you are amazing, Dr. Kettler Adler. I love chatting with you. Thanks for joining us on the show. and sharing your wisdom, your perspective, your decades of experience, and breaking it down also, I must say, breaking it down in layman's terms. So it's user-friendly, it's relatable, and little nuggets that people are picking up in our conversations that can apply even to their daily lives today. And I encourage them to go to your website and check out the books and all your other resources. And looking forward to seeing you in November as well. Thanks for being with us on the series.
Oh, can you say the website? Yeah. Can you spell out the website?
Yeah, I'll spell it out for everybody. www.kavleradler.com, which is KAVALERADLER.com, KavleradLER.com, to connect with Dr. Susan Kavler Adler.
And my email,
so
too.
Much.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be Dr., as in Dr. Dr., Kavler Adler at gmail.com. Fantastic. She is a clinical psychologist and a psychoanalytic psychotherapist who has been practicing in New York City and Lower Manhattan for more than 40 years, a distinguished guest here on CUTV News Radio Live. Thank you so very much once again, Dr. Kavler Adler, and we'll be chatting again soon, and I look forward to it.
Okay, thank you very much.
You are very, very welcome. Take care now. Isn't she amazing? Boy, I love chatting with her. Again, KavlerAdler.com, KAVALERADLER is the website. It's a fantastic website, too. I peruse it often before we go live on the air. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. A full day of episodes on CUTV News Radio Live globally coming up throughout the day. Till then, thanks for being with us. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.